Welcome to the program, Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, with Father Kenese Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Hello. I'm here to speak and share with you my love of the Holy Spirit. And to speak with you and to share with you His role in the life of every person from the beginning of time until the present. His role in your life and mine. We're going to stress the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The gift of piety, the gift of courage, the gift of counsel, and the gift of fear of the Lord. And in this series of talks, we'll be explaining the role of the Holy Spirit and how these gifts can make our lives richer, and we will become closer to the God that you and I love. But before I get into the gifts, I'd like to introduce myself. My full name is Father Kenese Francis Joseph Isaac Jogues Jean Brébeuf Cartmell. And you can forget all those names because I'm also known as Father Alleluia. And when people come up to me and they say, is that really your name? It gives me a chance to give them a homily on the street or wherever they ask the question. So thereby hangs a tale. I was a missionary in the South Pacific on the islands of Guam, Saipan, Wake Island for 21 years. And during those years, I read something that St. Augustine had written 1,500 years ago. He wrote, every Christian should be an Alleluia from head to toe. Now, I really didn't know what St. Augustine meant, but I liked the line. So I used to use it in homilies over and over again. And finally, one day, as I was speaking about Alleluia, which is Hebrew for Blessed be Yahweh, blessed be God, it dawned on me what St. Augustine really meant. You see, as I stand here, I know three things about myself. Once upon a time, a God was born for Kenese. And once upon a time, a God died on a cross for me. And once upon a time, a God rose from the dead for me. You know what that tells me about myself? Not that I'm holy, not that I'm thin, because that I certainly am not. Not that I'm smart, but that I am loved by my God. That I am lovable. And you know, I need to know that. I need to know that I am lovable. No matter what I've done in my life, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the things I'm proud of and the things I'm not. But I know that as I stand here, and also at every moment of my life, I am loved by my God. And why do I keep using Alleluia so often? Very simply this. You see, if I remember who I am, then I know who you are. I don't have to know your name, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Jew, agnostic, or atheist, whether you're a Buddhist or a Shinto. I know who you are. Because if I believe that I am lovable, then I know that you are lovable too. That a God was born for you. That a God died on a cross for you. And that a God rose from the dead for you. You are lovable. I have met all kinds of people. I have been to jail. I've met people on the streets, in the different hospital wards. I know three things about everyone I meet. And the ones that I meet in this camera are you. You're lovable. And so I ask people, because I'm human, and I can forget who I am, I ask them to use the name Alleluia often to remind me of who I am so I don't forget who any other person is. So that's why I'm called Father Alleluia. It's not a gimmick. It's not a catchword. It's a way of life for me. Blessed be God. When things are going good and I'm on top of the world, Alleluia. And when things aren't going so good, and I'm depressed and lonely and hurt and angry, Hallelujah can put things in perspective. And so I share with you what the Holy Spirit on the island of Wake shared with me, that Hallelujah is a way of life. It's not just a name. And now I'd like to sort of go into the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? You know, since the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit has been the person that people have called upon. The Bible in Genesis speaks of the Holy Spirit as the breath upon the waters. The Spirit came upon the different prophets. But it's only in the New Testament times that the Holy Spirit has become someone very special. As Christ once said, "Unless I go, the Spirit will not come, but I will send the Holy Spirit to you, who will show you what to do and will tell you what to say." And since the time of Christ and since the time of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, there have been many ways of using the Holy Spirit. And in the course of 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has come up with many nicknames. Some have called him the forgotten God. Gilbert Keith Chesterton called him common sense. For me, the Holy Spirit is my boss. He's the one I speak to and call upon before I get involved in anything. Before I even began this telecast, I said, "Holy Spirit, help me to use your seven gifts." But you know, there's a strange thing about human beings. We love to anthropomorphize. I love big words periodically. It impresses people. You know what that means? It means because I'm human, I like to express things I do not see in human terms. We speak of God the Father, someone we've never seen. So we get a mental picture of the Father, especially the picture that Michelangelo painted in the Sistine Chapel, where that magnificent creature, the Father, reaches out with the finger of creation and touches Adam. So we anthropomorphize. We picture God the Father as a person. And we picture Christ as a person. The Word of God made flesh. And it's easy to picture him because Christ did become a man. But now the Holy Spirit, a person of the Trinity, how do we express him? We have symbols. We have a bird on this magnificent set done by the people of the Eternal Word Network. We have symbols of the Holy Spirit with the flames that came upon the apostles. But you know, the Holy Spirit is a person. How do you picture him? Well, theologians have trying to explain the Trinity do it this way. God the Father had a thought, and that thought was the Word. And the Word is the second person of the Trinity. And the Word made flesh is Christ. And the love between the Father and the Son, and the love between the Son and the Father, is a very distinct person. That love is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is love. So when you and I call upon the Holy Spirit, whatever prayer we use, whatever way we call upon him, we, in a very simple terms, we actualize the Holy Spirit. Now think about what I've just said. When I call upon the Holy Spirit, I have made love active in my life. And if I make love active in my life, then when I deal with people, I will be dealing with them with love. I do not see you in the lens of this camera, but I know you're there. And so I'm dealing with you in love because I've actualized the Holy Spirit in my life at this moment. But because we're human and we still use the figure of a dove, I always remember what happened on the island of Guam years ago. A beautiful white bird came into one of the churches and was flying around the sanctuary. And everybody on Guam, remember about 20 years ago, we used to use the phrase Holy Ghost? Well, this bird was flying around the sanctuary, and everybody in the parish in Guam said, the Holy Ghost is in church. And so they began going into church. They were buying candles. They were offering masses. More people were going to confession than ever before. And the pastor liked it. He had something good going. And for a couple of days, he didn't say anything to the bishop about it. But eventually, he had to. So he went down to see the bishop. And he said, Your Excellency, you know, you might have heard about this white bird flying around that everybody thinks is the Holy Ghost. And he said, yes. He said, what should I do? And the bishop, being a very good German, said, get a gun and shoot it. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit's not a bird. The Holy Spirit is not breath. The Holy Spirit is not a flame. The Holy Spirit is a very distinct person, very real. And the most important thing to remember for you and for me is that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Be comfortable with the Holy Spirit. No matter how you and I address Him, He loves us as a father. He loves us as a mother. As one great mystic once said, just as surely as God is our father, so He is our mother. And a great pope who only lasted 33 days, Pope John Paul I, quoted that particular mystic, just as surely as God is our father, so God is our mother. Be comfortable with the Father, love the Son, but let the Holy Spirit fill your heart. That's my prayer. We've been speaking about the Holy Spirit as a person, and the role that the Holy Spirit has in all our lives, whether we're conscious of His presence or not. But you know, as I mentioned in the very beginning, we're going to spend some time on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But before I speak of the specific gifts, I'd like to spend some time on the word gift. What is a gift? A gift is a mutual giving and a mutual receiving. But what has happened with a lot of the gifts that God, in His liberality and in His generosity, has given to each of us? For example, suppose I was going to, now I say that again, suppose I was going to give a gift, say to Keith Campbell, he's one of the cameramen here. I'm not going to give him a gift, but suppose I was. First of all, I'd find out what he's interested in. Then I'd go to a store and buy the particular thing that he would like and ask the person, look, this is for a very good friend of mine. Would you wrap it up in a nice paper with a nice ribbon? Well, I'd take the gift, which didn't cost me too much, and come back to the Eternal Word Network Center here in Birmingham and give it to Keith. And then say, just suppose, a year later, I'm invited back by Mother Angelica, and I happen to visit Keith. And I go to his office, and I see the gift that I had given him in 83 still there on the shelf, still wrapped with the ribbon on it. You know what that would tell me? First of all, he didn't really care about the gift. And second, he didn't really care about my feelings. And I might just be tempted to take that gift off that shelf and give it to somebody else. I wouldn't do that because I didn't give the gift with strings or any strings attached. But I would feel a little bit hurt. You know, that's what happens with a lot of the gifts that God gives us. He has given all of us these gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, courage, counsel, piety, and fear of the Lord. And what have a lot of us done with those gifts? We've taken them and we've placed them on the mantelpiece of our own souls, still wrapped with the nice ribbon of grace, keeping it all together. But we don't use those gifts. And what I really want to share with you is if we use the gifts, then we are doing many things. Not only are we helping ourselves, but we're taking the ribbon off. We're taking the wrapping off. And the gift that was given by the great giver God now becomes a power and a strength in our individual lives. The only purpose that I've been speaking about the seven gifts for close to 30 years is to beg people to take the ribbon off and to use the gifts so that their lives will be richer and fuller, and that the role of the Holy Spirit becomes not just some person called in emergencies, but someone who's part of their daily lives. You and I have the gifts. In the name of the good God who loves us as we are, let's take the ribbons off. Now, you know, in recent years, there has been a growth, thanks be to God, in the charismatic movement. But there have been misunderstandings in the charismatic movement and outside of it. What is the charismatic movement? It comes from a very good word called charism, meaning gift. And I have given talks about these seven gifts of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, courage, piety, and fear of the Lord. And somebody will always come up, well, Father, aren't there other gifts? I'll say, yes, there are. But first of all, you have to understand why I've limited myself to seven. Traditionally, in the Catholic Church, we've used these seven in the confirmation ceremony. The gifts come from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, where they speak of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and courage. But the other gifts that St. Paul speaks about, the gifts that everybody talks about today, speaking in tongues, discerning of spirits. There are many, many other gifts of the Holy Spirit besides these seven. But the important thing to remember is this, not to get into a discussion about what gift you have, but to know that you have a gift. In the letter that St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he speaks of many spiritual gifts. And let's admit it, every one of us is different. Thanks be to God. Can you imagine what it would be like if there were two people like me? One is enough. Thank God I am different. There is only one copy of each person alive. I have my gifts, and there are gifts I do not have. Mother Angelica has gifts that I do not have. Bishop Sheen had gifts that I don't have. Every man, every woman, and every community, every family, every church has a gift that's different from everybody else. And so I really would beg of you not to worry about whether or not another person has a gift that you don't have, or has a gift that you would like. Or if you have a gift that you think is great, if you do speak in tongues, as St. Paul says in Galatians, use it for the edification of the church, for the common good. Every gift that's given to every individual, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, is for the common good. If I use any gift just for myself, I take a gift and I make it barren and I make it sterile. There are two wonderful sins, if you want to call them sins, that cause more disruption and more pain in families and in communities. And those two sins or weaknesses are pride and envy in the use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it's these seven or all the other gifts that the Bible mentions. Pride and envy. Pride. I've got this gift, and therefore I say to myself, I'm better than you. How tragic that is. No one has a lock on all the gifts. You don't have them, and neither do I. Like, for example, I like to talk. I love to talk. I love to preach. I find it very difficult on this television set this afternoon just to limit myself. That's my gift. Some don't call it a gift, but I do. But I'm a lousy administrator. Give me a list of figures and I'll ruin a person's book in 5 minutes. That's not my gift. There are brothers in my Capuchin community that are magnificent writers or whatever. That's marvelous. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the common good. I hope they're happy that I like to talk. I'm not saying that I am better than they are. I say we fit together as one. In other words, don't let pride in your community, in your church, disrupt the work of the Holy Spirit in each person. The Holy Spirit works differently in every person. So don't ever think that your gift is better, makes you better than anyone else. And the other great danger in the use of the gifts is envy, where a person wishes he had a gift that he doesn't have. You know, I'm not envious of other people's gifts. Everybody here at the Eternal Word Network Studio in Birmingham have gifts I don't have. I'm not envious of them. I marvel at them. And you know what that does? If I can marvel at the gift of another person in the Christian community, it makes me a happier person. I can enjoy their company. I can enjoy their expertise. I can be comfortable with them. You know what I just said? Comfortable. What am I really saying? I'm letting the Holy Spirit operate in me His way. And then He becomes my comforter, and He becomes the comforter of everyone I deal with. And so, in kind of a brief summation, we've talked about the role of the Holy Spirit in everybody's life, that He comes as a comforter, that the Holy Spirit's a distinct person, that the Holy Spirit is the personification of love, and that we shouldn't let these gifts, different as they are in each of us, tear us apart. Because you know what has happened. And in the course of time, what has happened is this. A denomination says that they have a lock on truth or a lock on something else. And they use it as a weapon. The Holy Spirit is never to be used as a weapon. We're all different. Thanks be to God. Vive la différence. Thanks be to God for the difference. I'm glad you're different than I am. I'm happy that you have gifts that I don't have. But let us never use these gifts, these talents, as weapons to hurt. The seamless robe of Christ doesn't need to be ripped apart in these days. There is a need for unity. Unity in diversity. We're different. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Now, in coming talks, we're going to specifically mention how the Holy Spirit uses us for the benefit of others. We'll talk about wisdom as a person almost. We'll talk about knowledge, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of each person. And just before we close out this segment, I feel very comfortable with you out there, wherever you are across this country. And so I'd like to say one thing. I think I mentioned it, maybe I didn't, but everybody in my family is Protestant. And I love them. And I love everyone out there. Not because of what they are. You see, that's what's caused the diversion and the anger and the hurt in the world. We worry about the whatness of people, and we forget the who-ness. I know who you are. You are a precious human being and someone who is loved. Maybe it's because I was a foreign missionary, and I was chaplain on Wake Island for Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, I don't know. Or maybe it was because my magnificent Catholic mother taught me how to love all my relatives and friends. All I know is that I love you for who you are. Hallelujah. You are precious. You are loved, and you are lovable. Holy Spirit, help me to use your seven gifts. Hallelujah.